Good morning. Welcome to worship today. So glad to see all of you as we praise the risen Lord today together. Point out a couple of things in the bulletin. Hope you are planning to be part of Vacation Bible School that we'll do jointly with Mount Tabor. Invite your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors' kids. That's always a lot of fun. That's coming up in August, which is like almost here, which is crazy, but we hope that you'll make plans to do that. Also want you to know that the date is set for the men's chicken barbecue, and it's not the same weekend it's always been. I don't believe it's the 24th of August, so mark that down on your calendars. Herbert, do we have tickets for that yet or not yet? Wonderful. So tickets will be coming tomorrow, and we can equip you to sell tickets if you'd like to. You don't have to be a member of the men's group. Certainly, this is the men's project. But Herbert will hook you up with as many tickets as you want to sell, I bet. 700 halves is what we're looking at. So if you sell more than that, you're going to have to stop. But until you get to 700, you're in good shape. Okay. And then wanted to give you all an update. Gary Hedrick has had an awful lot of difficult health stuff going on lately. He had a biopsy last week because he had an issue in his throat that they were real concerned about. And it came back, no cancer, which was just unexpected and very wonderful. But they think maybe an infection, and a pretty serious infection. So he was on antibiotics for a couple of days, and then he actually went into the hospital on Friday to get some IV antibiotics and try to control some swelling in his throat. So he's up at Forsyth. So keep that family in your prayers as Gary hopefully gets some healing through that hospital stay, but wanted you to know that's where he is now. Are there other announcements we should share this morning for the good of the community? Yeah, please.
Thank you so much for all the prayers and well wishes during our time of need. We are so grateful. We thank each and every member of the church with all our hearts. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful meal that was provided to us after the service, the Rose family. To Holly Grove Lutheran Church, this is an acknowledgement of your $220 donation to Crisis Ministry. Your continuous support is much appreciated. Ashley Phillips, Executive Director.
We wish happy birthday this week to Brody, Katie, Sharon, and Lori, and happy anniversary to Alex and Jordan. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then I see here something in the back of my book. Paul Conrad handed me this bulletin for the second Sunday after Easter, April 9th, 1967, at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. So if you need to catch up on any of your announcements from 1967, I'll leave this here, and you can take a look at that after the service. We'll continue with our prelude.
Thank you.
We stand as we begin on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on page 138 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If the children will head this way for the children's message. All right.
Hi, this morning. We're doing good? Okay, I thought today what we might do is we might have a special day today. And we're going to recognize Pastor Matt. It's not his birthday, or there's not anything else going on in his life other than it's Sunday, and he is so happy to be here with us. So we're going to leave Pastor Matt here, and you guys come with me. We're going to go down to the kitchen. We're going to do some cleaning up down there, and then we're going to fix some food. We got a lot of work to do. See, we've got the tables all set up so we can eat. But let's look in the kitchen. Let's see what all we have to do if we need to fix something to eat for the rest of the day. Slim pickings down here today. But you know what? I feel Pastor Matt to sit there and be our special guest, and we came down here and left him out there by himself. Isn't that something? I think we might ought to go back. All right, let's go on back.
They must have got lost.
And we're going to go back and we're going to sit there and we're going to talk to Pastor Matthew a minute.
Welcome back, guys. You were in there? I missed you.
Well, Pastor Matt, I am sorry. We left you sitting out here hanging by yourself.
All these people were just looking at me, and I didn't know what to do.
Well, sometimes we forget things. Like, I forgot to invite Pastor Matt to go back there and help us out. Okay? But sometimes that's because we get so busy. We get focused on a bunch of little things that we forget about the most important part. So in our gospel lesson today, you're going to learn about two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha, she was the busy one. She was in the house doing the cleaning, doing the cooking and everything. And her sister was just hanging around with Jesus. So when Martha went out to complain, Jesus basically told her that there are some things in life that are more important and that we shouldn't overlook the important things because of the little things that make us busy. Does everybody understand that a little bit? So we need to focus on what the good things and the most important things are, like Jesus' message to us to love one another. Okay, can you pray with me? Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Keep us from being too busy.
Keep us from being too busy.
And keep us focused on you.
And keep us focused on you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you guys.
So if you guys want to go to Children's Church, Miss Monica is going to have Children's Church, and you can line up at that door, but you're also welcome to stay with us, or if you need to, you can go check with your parents first and see what your parents say. If you don't know, that might be a good idea.
For the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, a reading from Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oak of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the trees. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the psalm for today is Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill, those who walk blamelessly and do what is right, and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue, and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors. In those the wicked are despised, but in those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The second reading is a reading from Colossians. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under earth. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission, and that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he who proclaimed, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Whining is something I'm pretty familiar with these days. I want a snack. She's not listening. I don't want to brush my teeth. Whatever, you know, there's lots of examples. And this is the stuff that drives you crazy. At least it does me. So we've had more than a few talks about whining in my house over the last several months. How if you have something you need to tell us, that's fine. You can tell us. We'd like you to tell us, using your words, but I don't want to hear the whiny voice. And we must have made at least some progress on this issue, because one night last week I was on my last nerve. No, stop, stop, stop! Don't slide around the tub like that. You're splashing. No, you're getting water on the floor. And when he sat up, he looked at me and said, Daddy, you need to stop. I don't like your whining. So maybe it's just all of this that's happening at my house, and I'm just overly sensitive to whining. But when I hear Martha's question to Jesus, whining is what I hear. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But Jesus is not in the mood. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. And the one thing for which there is need? Well, broadly, it's the word. This is what Jesus essentially tells the devil during the temptation. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. But if we want to get more specific, more concrete about it, the one thing that is essential, that is needed, is Jesus. Jesus who brings healing, Jesus who himself is life and salvation, Jesus who at this point in the Gospel of Luke has already fed 5,000 hungry people who were out there complaining that there was nothing to eat in the wilderness. Jesus is the one thing that is needed. And the other things, anything else that doesn't contribute to the kingdom that Jesus brings, it's not worth worrying about. It's a distraction. It's not helpful. That's what gets me about the whining. It's not helpful. It doesn't contribute anything to the conversation. It doesn't move us forward. If I'm making dinner, and you know I'm making dinner, I'm hungry. It's not adding anything helpful to the situation. In fact, it's slowing down the process of getting food on the table, right? It's a distraction. Distraction appears to be Martha's problem, not Mary's. Distraction is Martha's problem because she has Jesus right there in front of her and she can't just dwell with the Lord. She can't, for some reason, abide in the presence of the Savior. But before we throw too much shade on Martha, we ought to take a step back here. Mary has chosen the better part, yes, but Martha's tasks are not inherently unfaithful ones. In fact, the call to provide welcome and hospitality is one of the themes that pops up over and over and over again throughout the Bible. Clearly, there is a time when we need to get out there and do the work of ministry, actively living out the kingdom values, working for the kingdom values through tasks of faithfulness. In fact, in Luke's gospel, the thing that immediately precedes this encounter with Mary and Martha is the parable of the Good Samaritan that we heard last week. And there's basically two big takeaways from that parable. One, all those in any need are our neighbors. And two, loving our neighbors is an active thing. Tasks, works, actions are necessary for showing love to our neighbor. The conversation with the lawyer even ends with Jesus saying, "Go and do," like the Samaritan did. So I don't think we want to write Martha off here. She's trying to be about the kingdom work of seeing to the tasks that come with having a house guest, particularly one she might not have known was coming before she met him in town. Because, let's face it, welcoming somebody in, sharing what you have with them, seeing that they are safe and cared for, that doesn't just happen. It takes work. It means your life is harder for it. But it's also the way we're called to live as followers of Jesus. So, it's not that Martha's model of doing the work of the kingdom is wrong. It's not that we should always be so intensely focused on the study of the Word that we close ourselves off from the real needs of the world around us. The lawyer, whose dialogue with Jesus leads to the Good Samaritan parable, this lawyer would have been somebody who devoted pretty much all of his time to the study and knowledge of the scriptures and the law. And what does Jesus tell him? Go and do. I think what's needed is the ability to discern what is called for when. Dwelling in the Word and acting to bring forth the kingdom. We need both if we are to be the people that God calls us to be. But as the Mary and Martha comparison points out, we need them at the right times. We need to be able to tell which one fits the moment. Right now, in our moment, in this congregation at Holly Grove, I'm convinced that we need to be a little bit more like Mary. We need to take time to pause and dwell richly in the presence of the Lord. You probably remember, some of you, that back in February I was pushing a survey that was offered to us by the North Carolina Director for Evangelical Mission in our synod. We were looking at this survey as a way for us to get a snapshot of what our congregational health looks like. 3 Sundays in the month of August, we're going to look in some more detail at the results of this survey, but for today I can give you the summary. According to you, who took the survey and the analysis reported to us by the statistics department at Baylor University, Holly Grove Lutheran Church is in pretty good shape. According to the survey results, we're in that sweet spot where we're doing something worthwhile for the kingdom of God, and crucially, we're stable enough as a congregation that we can keep doing that. So that's really good news, and we ought to celebrate that. But of course, there are always areas for growth. And also, according to you, the area where we need to do better is personal spiritual growth. So, as I said, we'll look at that survey a little more as we get into August. But beyond August, what we're going to do initially is take the next 4 months after August and focus on a spiritual discipline, one each month. So in September, we're going to look at service. In October, we're going to look at worship, and particularly our habits around worship, and hopefully we can work on those habits. In November, Bible study. In December, prayer. And there's more details on all of this coming. But what I hope, what I'm asking for you to do today is decide that you are in, that you want to grow spiritually. And we'll get some more details later. If you want to get a jump start, you can look on the inside back cover of your bulletin, I believe is where it is, but there's a psalm study that's going on right now across North Carolina. And hey, it started on July 7th, but you know what? The psalms are all still in the Bible today on July 21st. So get started on that psalm study. You can pick up some PDFs that were printed off in the back if you want to, or if you need help accessing it, call me and I'll get you a copy if you don't have access to it on the computer. But look, we are called to be about the work of the kingdom, right? We're called to serve, to welcome, to proclaim the good news. But if we're not steeped in the Word, if we're not already sustained by dwelling in the presence of Jesus, then we are very likely distracted. We're likely to miss the essential thing, the presence of Jesus, because we're worried about things that are only important. So commit to growing your spiritual life. Plan to participate this fall. Get a jump start if you can, because there is only one thing needed, and that's Jesus. Amen.
In the morning when I rise, give me cheer.
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for all in need. We pray, Lord, for your church, visible and invisible, for all servants of the gospel, and for the holy people of God, that we hear your word and share in your supper. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for favorable weather, for calm waters and seas, and for all creation, that it become for us a reflection of your glory. We pray for those affected by natural disasters, that they would have relief. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for those who help make our communities safe, police officers and firefighters, military and peacekeeping forces, local and national leaders, that God's peace and compassion would come to all and to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the sick, the hungry, the imprisoned, for those living with HIV/AIDS, for those awaiting the birth of children, and for all people in any need, especially Burnett, the family of Harold, Lydia, the family of John, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Bonnie, Walter, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Laura, Jen, Eric, Judy, Misty, Alice, Al, Dan, Kathy, Cindy, the family of Anna, Robert, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for those who are distracted by overwork and those who seek more adequate employment. We pray that we would recognize your goodness in vocations of all kinds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift our voices, Lord, in thanksgiving for those who have died and are now at peace, that their lives would bear witness to us to the hope promised in your resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another. Thank you.
is gonna run to you, and you run on. When I can't get up, and I can't go on, I run to you, and you alone. 'Cause you're my light in the dark, and I sing with all of my heart. Hallelujah, my almighty God divine. Hallelujah, I am yours and you are mine. This is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're my everything. When my head was pain and filled with fear, I run to you, and you alone. When I gaze off you, and death is near, I run to you, and you alone. 'Cause you're my light in the dark, and I sing with all my heart. Hallelujah, my almighty God divine. Hallelujah, I am yours and you are mine. This is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When trouble comes and goes, and when the cold wind blows, I lift my hands up, I lift my hands up. When sorrow knocks me down, and you pick me off the ground, I lift my hands up, I lift my hands up, and I sing, hallelujah, my almighty God divine. Hallelujah, you are yours and you are mine. This is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, by the grace of God above. Hallelujah, I'll shine a light 'cause I am loved. This is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, hallelujah, this is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're my everything. Oh, you're my everything.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
We continue on page 144. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
our
thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray together as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. This is Christ's table, so all who seek Christ's true presence in bread and wine are welcome.
Take away the sin.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our mission statement is on page 5 of the bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.